Well, we want to talk about meat sacrifice to idols. I know how much trouble we have with that, don't we? Oh, it's just every day we're going somewhere and sacrificing meat to idols. No, we don't do that much anymore, but it was a big deal back then. And the fact of the matter is that even though we really don't have much issue with that, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 deals a lot with things where knowledge of an issue makes a difference. And we want to look at verses 1 through 8. Those are our verses for this week. And so we want to consider that. Paul says, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one." Now, I think our actual verses stop with 3, but I went ahead and read 4 and could have gone on for a few more verses. There's an incredible section there, and we'll certainly look at that more in the adult class next week. But just as we look at these few verses, we want to consider some things and observe some things about them. As we consider these verses, we notice in the ESV particularly, they put some things in quotation marks. Now, I don't know if they did that because we talked about in class this morning that some of the things that Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians are as a result of a letter that was written to him. And I don't know if they're putting those quotes because they're saying that they think that this was part of what was in that letter, that maybe they thought they wrote this to Paul. We don't know what they wrote in that letter, though. So, but certainly it sets knowledge off. As we're not just talking about general knowledge here. Paul is talking about something very specific, and we're going to understand that in a little bit. So let's observe a few things about idols and food offered to idols and how we deal with those kinds of things. And again, we're just going to scratch the surface because we just have a few minutes this morning left. But let's observe first of all that all have some level of knowledge. And the thing about it is, whatever our knowledge that we have is, we're proud of what we know a lot of times. We may not know anything about one area, but in the area we do know, we're proud about it. I was listening to a radio show, and they were talking about that shooting that they had there in Alexandria, Virginia, last week, and they were talking about it, and they were talking about the gun that he used, and they were saying, they said, Now, I don't know about guns, and so I'm going to make this statement, but understand, I don't know, and I know all the guys that know about guns are going to be calling in telling me how wrong I was because I said the wrong thing, you know, and I've heard people, you know, somebody that knows a specific subject, they're particular about it. And so everybody's got knowledge in certain areas of life, and it's different for different people. But he's talking in a spiritual sense here in our relationship with God. All of us have some knowledge. All of us possess knowledge. The question is, what is that knowledge? How much knowledge do we have? How do we handle that knowledge? Knowledge, they say, is a powerful tool. In fact, the statement that they actually make, I've seen, knowledge is power. What do you do with power? A lot of people use power to hurt other people. A lot of people use power to beat down someone who's weaker than them, someone who doesn't have as much power as they have. And that's exactly what Paul warns about in the second part of this. He says, knowledge builds itself up. It puffs itself up. Knowledge builds up that power of self. I'm powerful, I'm smart, I know this, and you don't. But that's not a good thing all the time, is it? Now, knowledge doesn't have to be used that way. And our goal is to learn how to use knowledge properly so that we're not just building ourselves up. not just puffing ourselves up. It's interesting that word, the way that's translated, puffs up. You know, something that's puffed up sounds like something that's not very real, doesn't it? Oh, I remember from when I was a kid, they would have, I guess it was probably like on Saturday Night Live, but they had these two guys that really weren't very big and muscular, but they had them in these big blow-up suits to make them look like they had big bulging muscles. I don't know if you ever saw those guys, but we are here to pump you up. And they looked like they were just so muscular and strong, and they really weren't. They were just wearing rubber suits full of air. They were puffed up. You know, the puffer fish, it's just a skinny little fish, but then it'll blow itself up. It's like four times as big. Looks really scary. Think about things like snakes, like the cobra, that will flare itself out to look bigger. The cobra's scary enough without doing all that. But you know, it looks scarier. A lot of birds will do that. You see cats, they'll arch their back and their fur sticks up, and they look bigger when they do that. This is what puffs up brings to mind, is somebody trying to pretend they're bigger and tougher than they really are. And Paul says, that's what knowledge does for you. Knowledge makes you bow your back and puff your chest out, and look at me, I'm bigger than I really am. He says, though, on the other hand, the third thing we want to observe here, but love builds up, and it builds up others. So do we want to puff up ourselves and make ourselves look bigger and stronger than we really are? Or do we want to build? Now, in the English Standard Version, it just says love builds up. It doesn't say the others part in the English Standard. Some translations put the others in there. Builds others up. But love builds. It builds you and the person you love. Builds both up. And so instead of puffing ourselves up like those guys in the fake muscle suits, love is like actually going to the gym and working out and actually building real muscle that's actually going to make you stronger. Building others up is better than building up yourself, or in this case, really puffing up yourself, because it's not real building. It's just pretend building. And so he says, okay, the knowledge puffs up, love builds up. That's better. When the Bible says this one does this, but this over here does, this is something better. Paul does that a lot in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 13 he says, but I will show you a more excellent way. Anytime we see that in Scripture, there's going to be something to follow that's going to be, well, a lot of times it's something better. Sometimes, especially in Proverbs, you may find some cases where it'll do the good thing first, and then it'll give you but the bad thing. But a lot of times in the Scriptures, in the New Testament particularly, it's going to give you, okay, this is the way the bad thing is, but here's the good thing. And put it in that order. It's not 100%. But there is a contrast there. So when you see that word but, you're going to look for, okay, one of these is better than the others. One's the good and one's the bad. And so you can figure out which one is which. Building others up is the better. Human knowledge causes imaginations to run wild. Notice verse 2. If anyone imagines that he knows something. Now, is Paul condemning knowledge here? No, he's not condemning knowing something. Notice, this person thinks he knows something. He imagines he knows. Have you ever met those folks? I got in trouble with that. I preached that sermon about corn. I didn't know about corn. And I made some comments about how many ears of corn there was on a stalk. Vera got, she said, let me tell you something. There's not that many ears of corn on a stalk of corn. Well, I'd take her word for it because I hadn't grown corn. I don't know. I trust her on that. She's grown corn. She knows what she's talking about. But sometimes we think we know something. We imagine that we're smart. We imagine we're smarter than we really are sometimes. And that human knowledge makes that imagination. We just think we're so smart because we know something. We probably know something that everybody else already knew 5 years ago, but we finally just figured it out. They already knew it. A lot of times that's the case, that it wasn't anything new. We just finally caught up with everybody else. But that's the problem with imagining that we know something. And he says, if that's the case, you still got a lot to learn. When you think you know something, then you've got a lot to learn about it. This imaginary knowledge that he talks about here, where we're imagining we know these things, it lacks wisdom and understanding. And when we lack that wisdom and understanding, we're going to use that knowledge, that's power, we're going to use it as a weapon. And we're going to use it to hurt other people. When we have understanding and knowledge, and understanding and wisdom, we're going to use our knowledge to help other people. But the problem they had in the Corinthian church was that they had their knowledge and it had puffed them up, and they were using it as a weapon that was hurting other people. And we need to be aware of that. See, Paul is not condemning learning and growing in real knowledge. That's not what he's doing here. I know it. Well, wait, he's saying, you know, we don't need to have knowledge, and knowledge is a bad thing. We should just love, 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 and not worry about knowing anything. That's not what's happening here. In fact, it's made clear by the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he starts the letter, he says in verses 4 and 5, I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, for you were made rich in every way in Him, in all your speech, and in every kind of knowledge. See, Paul was thankful for the knowledge, the real knowledge that they had. The problem was that they thought they were smarter than they really were. The problem was this imaginary knowledge that they had imagined that they know all these things, and they'd got all puffed up and proud. Have you ever met a know-it-all? You ever met somebody who they knew everything about everything and you couldn't tell them any different? And anything you tried to correct them on, you were just wrong because they knew better than you. You ever met somebody like that? Aren't those people wonderful to spend time with? I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of person that's a lot of fun to be around. They know it all. And they'll tell you all about, even though they may be wrong as everything, but boy, they know it anyway. And that's a problem. And that's kind of the condition that this Corinthians had gotten themselves in. They were a bunch of know-it-alls. And they thought they had all the answers. They had it all figured out. And it's up to the Apostle Paul to knock them down a peg or two and help them realize, when you think you're all that, you're not all that. You're not really everything you think you are. And you need to humble yourself before God. And you need to turn away from your puffed up, arrogant, know-it-all attitude. And then the next thing we want to notice and observe is that if you love God, He'll get to know you. There are a lot of people in this world who brag about knowing God. And it's good to know everything that we can know about God. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that talk about knowing God, they don't get their knowledge of God from the Scriptures. They get it from the inside their own mind. They have imaginary knowledge of God, it seems like. And they're all puffed up about how I know God. I know God wouldn't do this, and I know God. How do you know God? Did He tell you that? Oh yeah, God talks to me all the time. Oh really? Wow. You know, you run into these folks that, well, they know God. They know everything about God. Here's the question. What Paul tells us is, if you will, instead of just, you know God, you love God. And if you love God, He'll know you. Because on the day of judgment, the question's not going to be God sitting up on the throne saying, hey, do y'all know me? Because everybody's going to know Him. The question is going to be, Does he know you? Does he know me? It's not the people that know God that are going to get to heaven. It's the people God knows. The ones he's written in his book of life. That's the ones that are going to get to heaven. So our job is to love God so that he will get to know us. Now, you know, obviously he knows everyone. But when we say, you know, and that's what Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Wait, I never knew. Aren't you God? Don't you know everybody? Yes. He doesn't mean he doesn't know who they are. He means I never got to know you and have a relationship with you because you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me in. So we need to consider that. And then he talks about some knowledge that we do have, real knowledge. He says, now, as it pertains to eating food offered to idols, we know idols are not really God. We know that. He knew that. The Corinthians knew that. And we know that there's only one God. God is God alone, and there are no other gods beside Him. He made that clear all the way back in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before. I'm the Lord your God. That's it. One God. That's enough. You don't need any more. But here's the final thing, and this isn't really in these first four verses. But here's what they were doing with their knowledge. We talked about how they were hurting others. And the people they were hurting were the ones that didn't know that idols weren't real. The people who, to them, when that meat was sacrificed to an idol, that was very real. Again, we don't really have a lot of that going on today. Although I will say some people would say something like the halal meats, where the Muslims have to have it blessed by one of their mullahs or someone to pray over it and bless it to Allah before they can consume it, which seems a little odd that they would have to do that. You know, I can pray for my own food, and I bet you can too, but for somehow the Muslims can't pray for their own food, they got to have a professional do it for them, I guess, and that's why they have to do it that way. Maybe, you know, maybe some of the Buddhists and stuff may still practice some of this kind of idolatry that involves food, sacrificing it to the idol or something. In fact, I knew one man who said, "Well, I just can't go eat at a Chinese restaurant because they've got that, they get maybe a little statue of Buddha somewhere, and he thinks that they were sacrificed the food to Buddha." Well, Paul explains to us, look, just eat whatever's in the marketplace, just eat it. Don't worry about that. But now, if somebody makes a big deal, "I sacrificed this to an idol before I fed it to you," then he says, don't eat that. But here he does say, here's the problem, is some folks just don't understand that idols aren't real. Allah's not real. Buddha's not real. None of these, they're not real. They're not God. God is God. And He alone is God. And though the problem, though, is because not everyone knows. See, Paul says, we know an idol has no real existence. Now, when he says real existence, he doesn't mean it's not physically there. I mean, you can touch an idol. It is physically there. It's a thing. But it's not a God. There's nothing, no real power or deity at all there. It's just a stone or a piece of gold or silver or wood or whatever. He says, but not everyone knows. So help them when they don't know. Don't hurt them. In verses 7 through 10, that's what he specifies. Is, look, if you know, but then you're causing somebody who doesn't know to stumble and violate their conscience, then that becomes a problem. You're hurting them with your knowledge instead of helping them. We need to be helping people with our knowledge. We need to be obviously helping teach them so that they can gain the same level of knowledge that we've gained. But also helping them by not using our knowledge as a weapon that would cause them harm, as the Corinthians were here in this case. They were actually damaging other people and actually causing people to violate their conscience and therefore commit sin against God. Real sin, even over something that in and of itself shouldn't have been considered sinful. And yet it was in that circumstance. Maybe you haven't ever had any trouble with the idols, but maybe there's something else in your life where you've caused somebody else to stumble. Maybe there's something that you do that you know it's okay to do that, but it causes somebody else to violate their conscience. Maybe there's a way you do something that causes somebody else to be confused and think that you're doing something else. You know, the Bible talks about avoiding every kind of evil. But sometimes we have to be careful because the things we do may lead someone else to think we're doing something we're not. We need to be aware of that. We need to watch out that we're not hurting people with our knowledge. If you're here and you need to respond to God's invitation at this time for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.